All right. Thank you. Good morning, everybody. So developing the Oklahoma Mother's Milk Bank, I'm excited to be here, and let me figure out where I advance. Do I do the arrows? Ah, got it. So hopefully, as many of you know, in Dr. Benjamin's call to action to support breastfeeding, action step 12 was to identify and address obstacles to greater availability of safe banked donor milk for fragile infants. So there's our call to action, and we acted on that, and we had actually been working on that in Oklahoma. So this is a current map from the Habana website, the Human Milk Banking Association of North America, and these are all the current operational milk banks. There we are right in the middle. Y'all can follow the arrow to Oklahoma. We are in the heartland of the United States, for those of you that aren't familiar with that. And we are north of the Red River, which divides us from Texas. So that's a great rivalry, and we actually capitalized on that when we were advocating for our own milk bank, because we shipped all this milk south. That's what we told lots of people to get them fired up about this. Anyway, there's also a map of milk banks that are in process on the Habana website, so either developing or mentoring. So you can see we have a few more. But in my personal professional opinion, I think if we're going to increase access to donor milk, that we need milk banks in every state, and probably some states need more than one, obviously. Oh, thank you. So you can see we have a lot of work to do here. We are nowhere near half of our states even being covered. This is just a list of our board of directors. So we have a fairly diverse group, a number of healthcare professionals, and Darnell Gillingham is a lawyer in Tulsa, and she's the president of our board. And that's her baby in the picture, which started her on her journey to work on this project as well. So there's our human element, which has been very impactful. And Carrie Hale is our current clinical director, so our first paid staff person, which more on that in a minute. So some of the key steps that we found important, I think, in really accelerating our journey to operationalizing a milk bank was first that we established a milk bank depot. And so we already had a pool of mothers donating, and there was quite a bit of awareness. Finding community partners. And then, of course, working to have at least one hospital in the state of Oklahoma begin to provide donor milk, because at that time we didn't have anyone who was doing so. So establishing a milk bank depot to really just make sure everyone's clear on what that is. A milk bank depot is really a drop-off site, so it makes it easy for mothers who are donating locally to come to a physical location. We actually meet mothers at the front of our hospital, and they can pull up in their car with their baby in the car seat and unload all the milk. Makes it very easy for them to donate instead of having to, you know, have their milk FedEx, get dry ice, package it, and that sort, so save some steps. So in 2003, OU Medical Center, the hospital that's affiliated with the University of Oklahoma Health Sciences Center, began sending donated milk to the Mother's Milk Bank of North Texas, which was the closest one to us in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, south of the Red River. In 2007, because we were sending so much milk, that milk bank said, why don't you guys become a depot? Well, what's a depot? So, of course, we went through that learning process. We also began to raise awareness through our state breastfeeding coalition, COBA, the Coalition of Oklahoma Breastfeeding Advocates. So they really helped spread the word that we were even establishing a depot and we needed moms to donate milk. And we are proud to say that in the first 8 years of the existence of the North Texas Milk Bank, 10% of the donated milk that they dispensed came from Oklahoma mothers. And they have a huge network of milk bank depots throughout the state of Texas, but particularly in that northern part of the state. So here's what our depot often would look like, full freezers, two big full freezers, time for pickup, so they would send a courier to come actually and pick up the milk when we called them. So a next key step was finding community partners when we began seriously looking at turning this depot project into an official milk bank. So our state coalition, COBA, added milk bank development as a coalition goal to kind of empower members to help work on that, help seek support. And in 2010, we began seriously recruiting some milk bank board members, and we really began spreading the word amongst the faculty at the University of Oklahoma Health Sciences Center. So we recruited our milk bank director from the faculty there. And then in 2011, which I'll get into with the partnership issue, our collaboration with Oklahoma Blood Institute really got started. So, so there's the logo for COBA, and then our OU Health Sciences Center, and the Oklahoma Blood Institute. So some key partners in the success of our milk bank, or at least operationalizing. We're very new, so I can't say how successful we'll be long term. So then the next piece, of course, key step we felt was also at the same time recruiting at least one hospital in the state of Oklahoma to begin providing pasteurized donor milk in their NICU setting. And so, of course, the logical place was OU Medical Center with its 90-bed NICU. That was the largest NICU in the state. It's there on the OU Health Science Center campus, so where all the faculty practice. So we had developed a proposal with all the rationale and cost expenditure and return on investment and so forth for the hospital. That was successfully passed, and in January of 2011, the hospital began routinely ordering donor milk. Actually, the person in charge of lactation began routinely ordering donor milk for the hospital. And just a couple months later, the Oklahoma Mother's Milk Bank actually applied for its 501c3 nonprofit status. So just a couple of other, kind of fast forward 2012, we were busy working on getting a website launched, applying for grants. We spent quite a bit of time applying for grants that were getting rejected. We found ourselves in a catch-22 of everyone was excited about the milk bank, and yet many foundations don't provide startup funding. So it's like, well, you got to get started before you can ask for any other money, so we need money for startup funding. And in that same year, we were working more in our partnership with OBI and actually moved into our physical space, and in 2013 became operational. So that's a quick overview. So let's look a little bit more at the partnership with the Oklahoma Blood Institute, because that's what makes our milk bank unique. And of course, you know, for some people, it's like a milk bank in the blood bank. Ooh. Really? Do we give blood at the same time that we donate milk? How does this work? So this actually was kind of a light bulb moment, if you will, an epiphany that occurred amongst several of us about the same period of time. We were really looking for space centrally located in the Oklahoma City area, preferably on the Health Science Center campus, which was close to a number of other hospitals. And after hitting a lot of dead ends, you know, someone, nice building manager, said, why don't you check out OBI's new building? And we're like, OBI, a blood bank. You can start quickly making some connections there. And when we went and talked to OBI and told them what we were looking for and what a milk bank was, they went, a milk bank, and you screen donors and you need to deliver milk around the state. So we had a lot of great minds coming up with the same thoughts that partnering with the Oklahoma Blood Institute, we really had a lot of similarities in common. They had statewide locations. That's a map of where some of their major donor collection centers already exist. They had an existing courier system for pickup and delivery of blood products around the state. Of course, they had a high-quality donor screening program, so we were able to partner with them and pay for the screening of our donor moms, you know, really at cost. They didn't charge us, you know, extra. They're not making profit off of us. And of course, a secure new building, centrally located, very much parallel statewide mission. So everyone was getting very excited about that. And Oklahoma Blood Institute has just been a great partner. They've really kind of taken us on as a mission project. They're also a nonprofit organization that kind of saw, you know, that we were very similar to when they were trying to get started about 30 years ago. So they've offered us all kinds of support with their development folks as we're applying for grant applications. They'll review our grant applications. If we need help through their PR and marketing department, they'll help, you know, distribute press releases and so forth, or make media contacts for us. Some other elements we haven't yet taken advantage of, but possibility is there to take advantage of their contact center if we need to put out a call for, you know, donor moms, bring your milk in, you know, we're running low and that sort. So And of course, looking at purchasing power for supplies, they've given us equipment. This was a several thousand dollar ice maker that they gave to us. And of course, when we moved in, they gave us the first 4 months rent for free, so or made a donation to cover that. So very much supportive. Now, another key partner has been the University of Oklahoma Health Sciences Center. And partnering with the OB-GYN department has done a number of things. One is to help really spread the awareness through the other departments, such as pediatrics and family medicine, who wanted to make some kind of financial contribution as they were able. They've been able to help us. We received a particularly specialized grant funding from an organization that couldn't give it directly to the milk bank, but they could give it to the university. So that money was funneled through the OB department to help cover salaries for our clinical director. And then we've taken advantage. They've given in-kind support with their human resources and personnel departments so that we can hire staff. And as we're slowly growing and maybe have a small team, but we can hire personnel and be able to offer benefits. So we've had a lot of support that's been really important for us to be able to do that. So our current status, excuse me, is we received right towards the end of 2012, after we'd had numerous rejections of grant applications, getting a little bit discouraged and thinking this baby will never never be born. We received two $50,000 grants for the startup funds that we needed that allowed us to hire our first paid staff person and pay for the essential equipment that we needed to get going. So, and there we are standing in front of our first shaking water bath pasteurizer. Some of you that have worked in the lab probably are quite familiar with that. And then a nutritional analyzer so that we could analyze the milk. So then things really got moving quickly. We started donor screening in April of this year. We had our Havana assessment July 31st and August 1st and passed, of course, and began officially dispensing pasteurized donor milk to some Oklahoma NICUs in August. So those are some a couple of our moms who were donating and actually had a contest with each other to see who could be the first to express 100 ounces of milk to bring in together. So that was quite fun. And then making one of the first deliveries to an area hospital. So our production to date is we currently have 85 donor moms either approved or in the process of getting approved. And so this is, here we are early November, so this is about 3 months into full operations. We have two official milk bank depots established, three others in process. Things you learn along the way, I thought that would be, you know, pretty quick, and by the end of the year we'd have all these depots all over the state. And when you're working with hospitals to establish a depot, it's like, even though they're excited or their LC or their nurse managers want to do this, they get bogged down in bureaucracies in the hospital. So those haven't moved quite as quickly. But those are some independent milk bank depots. And then, of course, we are working with OBI to have freezers in several of the OBI donor collection centers around the state. We have currently three Oklahoma hospitals now ordering donor milk directly from us, three that are pending, and some that are started ordering donor milk this year, but they didn't want to wait for us to open, so they've been ordering from North Texas. And as we are ramping up production, we will, you know, quickly be able to transfer those accounts over. So where we are production-wise, we've been able to process 38 batches or racks of milk, and one batch is about 54 bottles of 100 mils of donor milk. Only one batch so far out of those 38 did not pass the post-culture testing, so we were pretty excited. Well, we were pretty discouraged that day, but that's been the only one we've had, so a lot of angst when those results come back. And so far, we've dispensed 6,600 ounces of pasteurized milk. So our goal that we had established for ourselves was 30,000 ounces in our first full year of operation. So we're not too far away from that. And so some of our challenges, of course, it immediately became apparent that increasing our production capacity was extremely urgent. So we can only pasteurize right now one day a week with our half-time clinical director and, you know, trying to have some regular volunteers that come and that you don't have to be retraining people every week that you pasteurize, which slows you down. But we're quite a bit more effective and efficient with the pasteurization process. We need to still work out some delivery processes and getting the milk delivered. That's some discussions with OBI to sort that out. And then, of course, continuing financial support until we're a little more self-sustaining. We need to hire more staff and apply for more grant funding. So we've had a lot of media interest, and that's been really rewarding and really affirming. The media love talking about the milk bank. So we've had all kinds of TV interviews, newspaper stories, and so forth. And with the recent pediatrics article on donor milk, we were all over the news again. It's like, that's just what I want to go talk about is informal milk sharing. But it'll get the milk bank out there. So anyway, this is recruiting a future donor. and that's our website, okmilkbank.org. And that's the end of my presentation. I'm happy to answer any quick questions. I think there's 2 or 3 minutes left. And Deborah's waving at me. So, yes, ma'am. Sure.
Do donors get any money?
No. No compensation.
Are they tied to a tax deduction if you're a 501?
That's a good question. I don't know the answer to that. Yes. And actually what I can say, we did look into, let me retract that, after our bad tornado season this year, we did have one mother who lost an entire freezer full of milk due to the power outages. And we calculated the cost of that milk, and they did write that off. So,
has there been a review of the return on investment that you spoke about in your
report? Oh, at our hospital? No, there has not.
What is the selection process for who gets human milk at the receiving end, or when you can't supply it to
That's a great question, and I think that's a very important question for the entire industry. That right now, you know, we dispense for hospitals that are ordering. Obviously, we'd like to supply to every baby that has a need, every mother that feels her baby has a need, and we cannot meet that at this point. So we're relying on the hospitals to set their own priorities. But we've already, I could talk to you later, we've already had some challenges with that. So, and then I know I see some in the back. So. Our cost estimate that if we can reach approximately 100,000 ounces of pasteurized milk dispensed each year, that would about break even cost-wise. So we, yes. So that is some revenue coming in, but it's going to take us a few years, obviously, to get to that. So Deborah, what time for one or two more?
One or two
more. So I know in the red, you've been waving. Okay, great. Oh, awesome. I know, I looked at that, and I thought, I've talked to a number of people, so, but that, you talked to Habana, because that was off their website last week.
It's on before.
Okay. Yeah, Melissa? That's a great question. Obviously, when the state hasn't had a milk bank before, to go out and say, well, we need a milk bank director, anybody around? And there's not. So it's creating an entire new job description. And also working with the university to create a job description that didn't exist in the university hiring structure. So that was another little challenge we encountered. But we our current clinical director has is a registered dietitian, a background in nutrition. She has actually set up an entire nutrition program for a hospital formerly, so she had experience with just development of a new program and operationalizing having to order equipment. She also has many years of experience as a lactation consultant, so she had that background. And then several of us have been to North Texas and had some mentoring there and watched their pasteurization process. So we took a number of steps to try to work through that. All right. Thank you all.